Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
Good morning, Roxanne.
Good morning, Regina.
How are you?
I'm doing well, getting a couple things done like so many of our listeners are as we get into the summer months. Yes.
I'm embarrassed. I don't think I'm getting much done.
So I take it one day at a time, right? So
okay.
I don't know if any of you write a list of, you know, and check off what we need to do. So that always helps out.
Well, you know, I'm excited, Roxanne, because at the beginning of the year, we talked about kind of the direction of what we were planning to do with the show, some new things that we wanted to introduce. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think this is our first step towards that with this particular interview. And I'm really, really excited about that. We've had this gentleman on with us before, but he was wearing his professional hat. And he serves as the general manager of Victor Valley Water Reclamation Authority. But today, he's here to share and discuss something that's very personal, Roxanne. Mm-hmm. His personal experience regarding mental and emotional health with a focus specifically on men. And I can't tell you how excited I am to have this conversation, but I also want to honor your courage, Darren.
Oh, thank you.
So we're here with Darren Paulson, and we're going to try and dive into this, which is a really very broad and deep subject, but we're going to try and do it justice by having Darren share with us some of his own personal experience. And he's been really committed to not only holding all this information to self, but sharing it with those who are having some of the same experiences, helping to maybe be that support.
Absolutely.
Right? And so we're going to talk about how important it is for men having a safe space where they can be free to speak their truths, which often, very often from our society, can be seen, you know, especially if we're putting things in that traditional gender role, as weak, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And today we're going to eradicate. I'm going to use that word. Eradicate that myth, because I think it is a myth, right? And most importantly, I think we're going to talk about what does a safe space look and feel like to have these type of conversations. So, Darren, again, welcome to Conversations with Regina
welcome
and
back.
Roxanne.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you both very much for this opportunity. I'm really excited to be here today.
Yes, and I think where I'd like to start in this conversation is, when did you realize that you were in need of some mental and emotional support, and what did that look like for you?
You know, for me, I think it actually began probably in my teens. Really didn't understand it or see the full scope of what I was dealing with at that time, but it really kind of manifested when I turned 18.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So, okay. Young man.
Yeah, as a teenager, I was very committed to going to school. I had really good grades. My mom worked at the Victor High School. She worked in the guidance counselor's office.
Okay.
And yeah, so she had every college catalog back in the day before online right on her shelves inside her office. And I can remember in the summertime, I would be over perusing the catalogs, just dreaming of the day where, you know, what school I would choose to go to ultimately,
right,
where I wanted to go to college. And it was always a very, you know, significant dream of mine to go to a four-year school, study engineering. And I had worked very hard in high school,
mm-hmm,
to get good grades and to prepare myself for,
right,
going to college. And, you know, looking back on those times, I can recall just how much pressure I was putting on myself, even in,
right,
that age, right, with,
mm-hmm,
regards to, you know, wanting to sustain those good grades and how much pressure I was putting on myself. And really nobody else putting that pressure on me. It wasn't like my parents were pushing good grades on me.
Mm-hmm.
But just that self-imposed, you know, desire to achieve and be successful, being measured by my grades and where I wanted to go to school and how well I wanted to do in college. And that all came tumbling down at 18 years old for me.
Wow.
Yeah. The you know, my goal was, you know, to graduate high school and then leave for a four-year university, and I achieved that goal. Mm-hmm. You know, I had scholarships and good grades. Thought I was mentally prepared to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent those first few months, you know, having to work full-time because my parents couldn't afford. So I had to work full-time and was committed to going to school full-time. And it just became very mentally draining, right? And
yeah, because you're looking at the financial component that's critically important for where you find yourself in life.
Right.
And then you already have set your standard of success. So in your mind's eye, I'm sure you kind of felt like, I don't have a choice but to succeed and ace all of these classes, and there's only 24 hours in a day, right?
Yeah, and then you probably had a lot of your friends who were just having a good time. Maybe you wanted to be part of that phase too, right?
Absolutely, and I built, you know, you picked a good word there, and that was choice, right? Because I really didn't feel like I had a choice, right, in my own mind.
Okay.
And I was doing very well in school. I didn't have any problems sustaining good grades, but the sacrifice I had to make to sustain good grades and be good at work was pretty much I didn't eat and I didn't sleep.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
It was one of those, you know, that was one of the after effects of, I just don't have time to eat. And, you know, 3 hours of sleep a night
I
was
can eat
plenty.
Later, right?
Yeah.
Right. The important thing is school, right?
Mm-hmm. And it just waned on me. And I can remember I finished a calculus final one day and I was just in tears. I was just so exhausted.
Mm.
And I walked next door into a counselor's office at the college. And I don't recall the counselor's exact words, but I remember the feeling that I got from the conversation.
Okay.
And the feeling I got from the conversation was that, well, maybe you're just not cut out to be a college student.
Oh, wow.
And it just
decimated
me,
yes.
Right? And, you know, I went running to my friends telling them, you know, hey, I don't know what's wrong. I'm not sleeping. I'm not eating. I'm just constantly depressed. And, you know, maybe I just need a break. And I can remember my friends, you know, not necessarily looking out for my well-being. They were specifically more worried about, well, who's going to help me next semester in the calculus class or the physics class, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, you're not interested in how I'm feeling. And I went to my work where I was and I was like, okay, well, I need some time off. And they gave me the same answer. It's like, well, Darren, how are we going to do it without you? And so nobody was really worried about how I was doing.
Right.
And that particular evening when I was told that from my friends and from my work environment, I got in my car and I was driving down a road, probably doing 60 or 70 miles an hour. And I should have made a nice right turn to go the direction I wanted to go. And there was a nice little cliff right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove off that cliff.
Mm.
I literally was in my head just tired of the voices and the negative affirmations that were just continuously repeating inside
lack
my head.
Lack of support.
I was not.
You felt by yourself. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Nobody's on your corner.
Yeah.
Nobody's in my corner. And I didn't really want to go to my parents at the time, right? I'm all growed, right?
Didn't
want to have to.
And you're being successful.
Yeah, I wanted to prove to everyone that I could do it. And, you know, I look back and I think, you know, sometimes how much I failed at that. But the reality is that, you know, it was a great growth opportunity for me, realistically speaking, right? I mean, there's times when you're feeling depressed like that, you do have to go seek professional help. You may likely need some kind of medication to kind of help your head just slow down and sleep.
Right.
So,
I think also, Darren, I love the fact that you're sharing this and you're sharing at an age. At 18, we have young men, you know, you go to bed the night before you're 17, you wake up the next day, you're 18, and all of a sudden we somehow put this expectation on especially young men that now you're a man, right? And you start to figure it out. Well, how do you do that, right? It's like anything else. You've got to start to develop and cultivate skills. And one of those things is to really be in touch with yourself and to learn balance.
Yes.
And,
right?
Absolutely.
And so it sounds like to me that one of the things that you had were not able to do for yourself, and that it doesn't seem that anybody else was saying to you, it's great that you are overachiever at school, and that is going to serve you well, and it's great that you are committed to working to be able to take care of yourself, to make to meet this goal, but there's also something called balance. And so you do have to balance that so that you are taking good care of yourself, both emotionally and physically.
Yes.
Right? And I think sometimes we miss that because we think that's the obvious. And especially with men, right?
Absolutely. And because we see ourselves as loners most of the time,
yes,
right?
Yes, you don't have these conversations.
And that's the whole thing, because we talk about, like, especially now, there are resources to help out. But Darren, when you were growing up, did they talk about resources? Like, here, we have a counseling office, but did they talk about those things, that those resources were available for those who needed help? Not like today, where we do talk about that,
right,
and we have specific offices that can help students and individuals who need that extra help?
You know, I'm sure they were there, but okay, it was very taboo.
Yeah,
so,
it's right? A little bit more open now, right?
And now we, just like we're having this conversation now, which is very open.
And especially
and
for men, too.
Right? For Absolutely. Men, mm-hmm. there's more of that we're practicing and doing in our society now than before. And so you were saying that it was at this point where you basically just went off the cliff. But it was an aha, an awakening moment for you as well, because you made a decision at that point. Do you recall what that decision was?
So what happened next, Darren?
You know, it was very fortunate when I landed on the backside of that cliff. The car was still able to run, and I was actually able to drive it home. And I went home, and I told my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they immediately were just very aghast. It was like, well, why didn't you come to us? Why didn't we see it?
Yes.
Right. And, you know, they immediately got me help with a professional therapist. Right.
Yes.
And thankfully so. Right. I mean, it was really just a time where they had to tell me it's okay.
Yes.
Right. You know, you don't have to come up with a life path at 18 years old. That's not expected of you. Why did you feel that, you know, you had to achieve like that? You're not a failure, right? And somebody had to keep
exactly.
telling me that.
Yes. Right? Yes. So. And so moving forward from that moment where you got the support, understanding, right, and you were in a safe space for somebody to say, you're not a failure. We're not expecting you to figure everything out and have all the answers, right? So take a step back, take a breath. Right? And we'll start to figure this out together. And you knew you had support, right?
I did.
So moving forward from that time, what were some of the things that you started to practice or put into perspective as to not find yourself going down the road again looking for a cliff?
You know, that's one thing that when you do hit that rock bottom, right, when you've seen the bottom,
mm-hmm.
It's also very easy to see it in other people. For me, I think one of the most significant growth efforts, and for my own personal growth too, was recognizing those issues in other people and seeking them out and actually being that open, you know, allowing for that open dialogue to occur. Growth for me really has been about just people and engaging with people and really
yes.
seeing, you know, that some of the things I've been called to do on this earth are to provide that guidance and to be there for other young men whom I can see struggling with,
yes.
you know, how they value themselves and their own expectations and letting them know it's okay to fail. And
yes.
for me, that, but it's been slow, but it's been very rewarding and very gratifying.
And I'm gonna call it, I don't know what you call it, but I'm going to call it what you just articulated, your higher power purpose, right? And look at what you got from that experience and what we in turn benefit from, right? Because I don't care what anybody says, there's nothing like somebody who has walked the walk that can talk the talk and relate to me,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's some power in that, right? And for you to now be, you're moving through your life with that. So you're taking what could have been seen as a horrible negative, and it could have taken you down a lot of different paths. You have used that all for a positive purpose, right? So my question to you is, with all of that, what are some of the suggestions or recommendations that you make specifically for men and young men who may be struggling and suffering in silence, right? you know, where can they go? What can they do? Do you have like maybe some tips or recommendations, like I said, for those who may be listening at this very moment and struggling, you know, affirmations, something?
You know, I'm a big advocate for positive affirmations. I have little post-it notes in my car, in my mirror in the bathroom. So absolutely that feeling of positivity about yourself and your future is, mm-hmm. is key, right? No matter what tests happen in your life, right? I think for me too, my faith, right? There can be no testimony without test,
yes.
so to speak, right?
Yes.
And, you know, as a man, recognizing it's not weak to
yes.
have seen that negativity and know what it feels like to be down there, but then recognizing the calling of that you've experienced it, now you're meant to help others, right?
Yes.
And I think that good combination of faith, positive affirmation, find confidants, right, who are honest with you, right? Don't find people that are just there, you know, telling what you want. Them, you know, what you
right.
what they think
so
you want to hear.
Shared experience, shared lived experience.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Right, I mean, you need to be open with other men specifically, right, that you can trust.
Yes.
Because again, right, I mean, as a man, sometimes we only look to another man to be our positive affirmation, to tell us that they're proud of us or to affirm how well we're doing in life sometimes, right?
Right.
And you need to find those people as a
yes.
man, right, whether that's a you know, that's a family member, a friend, maybe it's a pastor at church, right?
Yes.
Find that person who is there for you and sees you, right,
yes.
so to speak, right? Recognizes that, you know, that you as somebody who has dealt with depression or emotional angst, you will always have that tendency, always.
Yeah.
It never leaves me,
yeah.
right? You have to learn to deal with it. You have to learn to... you know, make that noise, quiet that noise, so to speak, and there's a lot of ways.
How to address that for yourself.
You do.
Yes, and I think all of that is wonderful. I love it because I think sometimes, even we as women sometimes have a tendency to forget that men do come with emotional sides and feelings, and those things are to be respected and acknowledged, right? Just as we do, I mean, I think women, we get the credit for having the ability to talk more to each other, right, and all of that. And somehow we've made that where that's not necessarily the same for men, but why wouldn't it be?
It just feels like we've somehow forgotten our men.
Yes.
Our men have feelings, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think to be able to say your feelings are important, right, and what you're experiencing and going through. I know, you know, with myself in my household, I happen to be the mother of a son, and, you know, I have a husband, and I'm surrounded by men in my immediate family and life with my dad and all. And so conversation and, you know, always kind of checking in, how you doing? Because it's hard. It's hard out here, whether, you know, when my son was going to school, and in college and, you know, kind of starting to understand that he was on his own, there were challenges, right? And thank God that he felt he could share and trust. And he didn't always share everything. I'm not going to put it out there like, you know, he shared everything.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew that there were some safe spaces. And he was able to share some of his emotions. Where I have seen other situations where that has not necessarily been the case. And that's why I say, you know, suggestions or recommendations for those who are suffering or struggling in silence, right? Because silence, that kind of silence, we're sick because of our secrets. That kind of silence is a killer. It is a silent
killer,
right? And so for each of our health and well-being, it is important that we are able to share and talk and learn and be present in who we are, right? Whether we're male, female, whatever. That's humanly important for us to be whole, healthy, right? And Darren, I just cannot tell you how much I appreciate and value your courage to be transparent and share, because I'm believing that somebody listening right now in this moment is going through something, and what you are sharing, just by virtue of saying you're not alone, I've been there.
Right.
Right? But I survived to tell the story.
Yeah, it'll either break you or help you grow.
Yes.
Right? It's a choice there, too. Right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And, you know, and then back to, you know, you grew up in a house with, you know, a son and a husband. I grew up in a house with a wife and three daughters.
Okay.
Right? So, you know, my feeling of having to be the strong one in my house, right, I think is another example of a men's predicament that we get put in sometimes with
right.
regards to holding our own selves accountable to, I have to be the strong one here, right?
Right.
And you have to be able to find that partner in life that is going to listen to you in your times of, hey, look, I can't be the strong one today.
Right. Help you balance.
You need balance.
And it's a shared experience. Absolutely.
Right.
Darren, I want to thank you. I would love to have you back. I'm thinking, Roxanne, that maybe we'll get Darren back and get us a therapist.
No,
who
that'll
can come
be great.
On and really be
oh,
able
be,
to give
that'd be fun.
Some tips and help. Because you know what? We all need to be healthy.
Yes.
Right? We need to be whole healthy. And so our emotional, mental health is as equally as important as our physical health. Right. And so I just thank you for the opportunity to share your story.
Oh, my pleasure.
As personal as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And hope that you will accept our invitation to come back, because I think this is a subject that we can do even a deeper dive to really address and share and provide some really good resources and tips for those who may find themselves struggling at this time in life. We're dealing with a lot, all of us.
We are.
Right?
Yes.
And we need to find ways to have the conversation. So thank you for having this
conversation.
Thank you, Darren. Gina, Roxanne, thank you so
you.
Much.
Come back again.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks again for hanging out with us on High Desert Dialogue this weekend with Regina and myself. Time to take a look at our community calendar. There's so many things to look forward to as summer moves into the high deserts. And again, another big shout out to our great class of 2025 right here in the high desert. Congratulations. Let's take a look. Get ready for summer of fun. Phelan Pinyon Hill CSD is bringing kids painting classes and archery lessons every Thursday starting June the 12th. And the Pinyon Hills Chamber presents Summerfest happening June the 7th, 9 to 6 p.m. at Pinyon Hills Elementary School, returning with music and family fun. And the Sunset Concert Series from the town of Apple Valley is heating up, started June the 5th, will continue June 12th, June 19th, June 26th, July 10th, July 17th, and July 24th at Civic Center Park, Thursdays from 6 to 9 p.m. And the San Bernardino County Fire Protection District will host an open house celebration from 7 to noon on June the 7th at the newly established fire station 306. The public is invited to a pancake breakfast and a traditional push-in ceremony for the fire engine and ambulance. Sounds great. The fire station, this is located at 17801 Ranchero Road in South Hesperia, and the event is happening from 7 to 12 noon. And Saturday, June the 7th is California Adopt-a-Pet Day. Unleash love and find your friend. Your local animal shelters are full of animals just waiting to meet you. We have more information and resources on our station's Facebook pages. And again, if you know of an event that's open to the public right here in the high desert, share it with us so that we can share it with our listeners. Have a good weekend, and we will talk to you next time. Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We'll talk to you next weekend.